What were your biggest takeaways when it comes to these documents that were released earlier this week?
Well, I don't know that we learned all that much new. I mean, I think there was more texture to the world of 1963. I think we learned a little bit more about how the CIA has been operated in the world back then. Particularly, I think this was kind of assumed, but this was kind of confirmed that there's a lot of so-called American diplomats throughout the world were in fact really CIA agents who were there undercover. So I think most people who study that period sort of assume that was the case. These documents make that clear. But in terms of sort of the notion that this was somehow going to finally settle for clear the issue of whether Lee Harvey Oswald acted alone, that was not resolved, and I never thought it would. And I think the big picture is we have to realize that 99% of the documents had already been released. I mean, there's been lots of documents, as you said, that were released this week, but much of the trove had already been, you know, out there in the public domain. So this is more information, more texture, but I don't think it fundamentally changes the narrative.
Is it ever going to change the narrative?
No, put bluntly. I mean, you know, it's good to kind of pull back. I mean,
sure.
The Kennedy assassination is so fascinating, in part because it's almost a Shakespearean drama in which you have this young, charismatic president at the peak of his powers, you know, rich, famous, beautiful wife, you know, seemingly have the world at his fingertips. And that was removed in 1 second by the shots of apparently delivered by this sort of aimless drifter, Lee Harvey Oswald, in his early 20s. And just kind of that image of this amazing power snuffed out so quickly, you know, just gives this almost a Shakespearean drama. And then it coupled with the fact that it's become sort of the ultimate murder mystery because, you know, Kennedy's killed, Oswald is implicated. But then you say, I mean, Kennedy had a lot of people who did not want him to be around at that time, whether it be the Soviets, the Cubans, some in the underworld, you know, the CIA, the FBI. I mean, there's a lot of people who did not love Kennedy and what he was doing in the White House. So you have someone who apparently shot the gun, but there's all sorts of people off in the background who have motives for wanting Kennedy to be gone. So it's natural, and it will continue, I think, for the kind of as long as we're around, that people will be kind of pulling at threads and trying to figure out if the story gets, you know, more coherent, you know, going forward.
Visiting with John Shaw, director of the Paul Simon Public Policy Institute at Southern Illinois University. There were many who believed the release of all these documents, John, would be a bad look or black eye, for lack of a better term, for the CIA. Is this a bad look for the organization?
Yes, I guess, in the sense that, you know, it confirms what people who've been studying them have been assuming, which is, you know, the CIA this was the Cold War. People were playing hardball. The Americans and the Soviets were playing utter hardball. We had an intelligence operation, the CIA, that was very, very aggressive, and it was doing things around the world that probably most Americans would not be deeply proud of. You know, the CIA people at that time would say it was a tough world and they had to operate, you know, with kind of brass knuckles. So I think one of the reasons that this is the last tranche of documents, or seemingly the last tranche, is because the CIA was reluctant to kind of release, you know, what had gone on. Now, presumably, you know, the CIA's methods have been updated a bit since the 1960s, you know. So presumably the same kind of sources and methods that they used back then are not being used now. But there were actually, in fact, a few people, you know, who are working with the CIA who are still alive back then, who are still alive now. So there was maybe some sense of protecting individual identity as well. But I think – I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
So I think the CIA was not super eager, and intelligence agencies around the world are not super eager to disclose – what their past practices are, in part because it involves some oftentimes unsavory activities. And part of it is just, you know, not revealing methods and sources that, even though they've changed and been updated, you know, might give your opponents in the world just some sense of context that they might find useful.
Now that we're 40, 50 years removed from his presidency, what's the legacy of JFK?
I think his legacy is just the kind of the potential, just the haunting question of what he might have been. You know, he had a remarkable talent and charisma and ability to connect. And yet his presidency, you know, was ended in 1,000 days. You know, events that followed the Vietnam War, of course, the racial unrest of the 1960s. You know, you're left wondering if all of those events might have flowed differently had Kennedy lived. So I think it's just the kind of the drama of a really powerful man being taken out instantaneously, and also the questions of what might have been had he lived and perhaps served a second term.
And John, as I let you go, we mentioned you wrote those two books on President Kennedy. Where can our listeners go to find that and all of your work?
Well, my website, just Google John T. Shaw, and on my website I have the various books I've written and some of the political commentary I've been involved with since then. So, yeah, I encourage them to take a look at the books. And Kennedy is always interesting. There are plenty of Kennedy books out there, but I hope they take a look at mine if they're interested.
John Shaw, director of the Paul Simon Institute of Public Policy at Southern Illinois University. John, always appreciate the candor and the perspective. I hope we can visit on other topics sometime in the near future.
I would like that. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much.